The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of God, the Maker, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Excuse me. Typically, when I preach, I try to focus on one key theme or one concept. Excuse me, this frog in my throat. Sometimes telling one of the stories that we heard from our scripture readings each week. Now, I've explained before that we have these four kind of readings, typically in what we call the Revised Common Lectionary, a series of readings that are chosen and kind of assigned by a three-year cycle. And you can hear these same readings if you go to any other church that uses the same set of readings. Now, these four readings are designed to kind of fit together like a puzzle, right? To tell a larger story. And we usually read one from the Old Testament. We read a psalm or a song. We read one from the New Testament, usually one of Paul's letters. And then the gospel reading, one of the four canonical gospels. Who are? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay. Now, one of the things that I am very clear on, and I have been clear on since the day I started as your pastor, is that I want to be authentic and real. I want to be really honest with who I am and whatever I'm experiencing, because I think that's what we need in the church in this day and age. I don't want to come here and pretend to be something that I'm not, and I don't want you to come here and pretend to be something that you're not. I want church to be a place where your realest self exists, and that means that my realest self needs to exist here as well. And I have to tell you that with my realest, most honest self, that sometimes I read these scripture readings and I think, oh no, I hate all of them. And I struggle with something to come up to say. But today, after hearing all four of these readings, my problem is actually, oh no, I love all of them. I love all four of these readings today, and I found myself sort of overwhelmed with how to condense it into some sort of concise, coherent message to live our lives with this week. Because ultimately, my goal as a preacher is to give you something to chew on for the week, some sort of nourishment, something to feed your belly and your soul. So, to cover my basis, I'm going to preach four different sermons, and we should finish up today's service around 3 p.m., so you might as well get comfortable. Now, I'm kidding. Y'all laugh because you know that I'm not serious. You would revolt before that happened. I've no doubt that people would get up and walk out or fall asleep or just clap your hands and say, "Let's pray," right? As a gentle but firm way of interrupting me. But instead of preaching all four sermons, I'm going to do something a little different that I've never done before. We're going to do sermon tapas. Small plates, little appetizers. And so you're going to get four sermons, but we're going to keep it within our normal time frame. And to make it even more interesting, you are going to decide the order that we hear them in. Ooh. All right, so let's review. What are the four readings you heard today? Genesis, right? The creation story. Stephanie was like, "Do I really have to read this whole thing?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's a good one." She's like, "Why is the first time I'm signing up to read the longest reading ever, right?" Genesis, and then what? The Psalm 8, right? And then 2 Corinthians and Matthew. All right, are you ready? Which one do you want to hear first? Genesis, in the beginning, right? All right, Matthew's next, right? All right, let's do a quick recap of Genesis. Our Old Testament reading today Genesis, right? Affectionately known as the creation story. And we hear about the formless void in the sky, the light and the darkness, the day and night, waters and land, plants and trees, creatures in the sky and sea, creatures on the land, humankind to steward all of this. Everything gets finished. God gets a day off. Hooray! And God saw that it was good. Cool? Got it, right? That's the story. Sunday school covered that one. All right, here's your sermon. God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God's self, God created all of humanity. And God blessed them. God, in all of this massive creating, of taking literal chaos, right? A formless void. What is a formless void? It's like the bottom of your purse, the bottom of a junk drawer, like that layer underneath the mats in the car, or whatever your formless void of chaos is in your life. God takes this and makes something out of nothingness, and not just something, but water and land and sky and sea, and creating everything from fire reed to lupin to moose and caribou and salmon and bald eagles, and then creating humanity, us human beings, with all of our humanness, all of our messiness, our realness, and our chaos. And God blesses us. God calls us good. God claims us as stewards of the earth, of all of this stuff that God has made, right? God is like this massive CEO that's built this company from the ground up and then hands it over to humankind and says, do it, right? God trusts us and God blesses us and makes us co-creators who get to put our hands in the dirt to help make vegetables grow and protect the waters and live on this beautiful earth. And God blesses us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Matthew.
No, wait.
I thought you shouted Matthew. You want to go Matthew next?
No.
Or do you want to like mess up with Mark? All right, who's next?
Matthew.
All right. Jesus gives this commandment to go and make disciples, to invite others to study and learn from all the walks of life, to baptize them, to seal them on their foreheads and their bodies with the waters of chaos, right? The same waters of chaos that were in that formless void, the waters that were separated from the land, and to remind people that they are called loved in God, three in one, one in three, the Holy Parent, Divine Savior, and Invigorating Spirit. And besides all of that, remember that Jesus Christ, your teacher, your friend, that guy that keeps challenging you and arguing you and getting you into these discussions where he seems to make all the sense in the world and no sense whatsoever, he says we're not in this alone, but that he will be with us till the end of the age. That no matter what chaos becomes the earth, no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what feelings of emptiness or loss, no matter where our human messiness spills out into the world, Jesus Christ will be with you to the end of it all. Full stop. Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah, right? What do we have left?
Psalm.
All right. Psalm. The psalm, the part of the songbook of the Bible, is the singer, the writer, talking about how awesome God is. And God has done all this amazing creation stuff, right? Good job, God! That's our psalm for today. How majestic is your name? You rock, God! Now here's your sermon on Psalm 8. What are mere mortals that you should be mindful of them? Human beings that you should care for them? God, when you created the world, when you took that junk drawer of chaos, that formless void, and you were focused on every detail about the veins in the flower petals, about the ways in which those rocks kind of moved and dirt was created around it, the way in which animals have claws and nails and fur and scales and all of these things, you're doing all of that, and we, as mere mortals, as just human beings, you have made us as people who eat, sleep, breathe, give each other hugs, talk about each other behind one another's backs, make decisions that harm people, make decisions that help people. Who are we? Who are we, oh God, that you care for us? God, in the midst of all of your world creating, you took the time to make humanity, to bless us, to call us good in spite of our best efforts. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Preach it.
All right, who's left? Corinthians. All right, who wrote the letter to the Corinthians?
Paul.
All right, better be careful or we're all going to Sunday school. All right. The Apostle Paul's second letter to the community of Corinth, right? This town and this community, and specifically, this is his farewell speech to them, right? He's like, all right, guys, this is it. This is what I got to say. Now, we have come to call this the apostolic greeting, which is a really fancy church word for that phrase, that kind of invitation that you hear me say at the beginning of each service, right? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, right? I say that every week. And that's something that, like, the pastor says, right? But again, that's this reflection of this. We are entering into relationship together in this worship service, and I am calling on the Trinity, you know, God as all three in one, one in three, and extending that to you all. And you say what back? And also with you, right? This is a mutual invitation. We are in this together. I don't have some you know, special phone line to God, but we are calling on the presence of our God the Maker, our God the Savior, and our God the Spirit that blows through the room like a fart, right, Dakota? And that is the God that we call on in relationship together. Now, this is the shortest of our readings today, right? So what sermon can I possibly have on this? It was literally what, like four lines, three lines, two lines? I can't count. All right. Grace, love, and communion, right? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Grace, love, and communion, the grace, the gift to be freely made in God's image, the honor to be held as sacred in God's name, and the invitation to gather in God's name with one another. We start each week with this greeting, even though they were some of Paul's final words to Corinth, because it is in the promise that we are drawn together, not only in our communion, but in the larger community of humanity and creation, because it's in this promise that we have the grace and love of a God who made order out of chaos and cares for us mere mortals, no matter who we are. Thanks be to God. Amen. God blesses us. God cares for us. God offers us grace, love, and communion. And God will be with us through the end of the ages. Dear friends, I feel like my sermons are my best attempt at telling you God's resume. I try to tell you God's best attributes and assets and fit it into the time and space allotted for that information. And I do that because if your life is like mine, then you probably have some dishes in the sink, maybe laundry mountainous piled up in your bedroom, maybe your taxes aren't done yet, maybe you still have plants to get on the ground that are living on your sidewalk in front of your house, all right? Or maybe you need to clean the windows. And if your home is representative of your body, your being, then the to-do list of not feeling enough or good enough or smart enough or productive enough or worthy enough is like feeling like your body is that chaotic, formless void. Or maybe you are wondering why God would have any interest in you, mere mortal, when God has done all this other stuff and God has a lot more stuff on God's plate. Or maybe, because despite hearing it over and over and over again, the promise that God loves you feels like a cheap sticker and not a tattoo on your heart. Or maybe, because all of the other voices in the world would tell you that God doesn't need you. God blesses us. God cares for us. God offers us grace, love, and communion. And God will be with us to the end of the ages. This is a sermon that I needed to hear today, because I need to know that no matter how many household chores are out there or whatever voices seem to take over my brain, that God's final word to us, to each one of us, is that of blessing, is that of caring, is that of grace, love, and communion, and of companionship through the end of all eternity. And that's what I'm clinging to this day. It's all I can do. It's all I want to do. It's all that my human self is capable of. God is blessing you. God is caring for you. God is offering you grace, love, and communion. And God will be with you, each one of you, until the end of the ages. Thanks be to God. Amen.